Amen. Well, I was reminded of a mountain climbing experience also leading up to this, and it really has nothing to do with you climbing the Glofelin yesterday. Last Sunday, after we did what we did, I went home and I was really embarrassed as I realized I thought we brought the book of Hebrews to a close and I didn't even read the last three verses. Oh man, that's embarrassing. You know, that's embarrassing. So I've toyed with it through the week, and my mountain climbing experience really is going to explain kind of where I feel we are. Mount Shasta, okay? I've been on top of the mountain three times. I've been turned back twice, so I've attempted it five times. Before I ever climbed the mountain, I was warned, when you go up the mountain, there's going to be these false tops. You see it in the distance, you think, ah, I'm almost there, and you top that one out, oh man, there's the top, and you go for it. And one more time, you top out, say, oh, this isn't the top yet. And finally, you do top out, it does stop. 14,182 feet, it stops. And I feel like I've tried to end the book of Hebrews twice already. This will be the third time. We're topping out, you know. But there's a little bit that I want to share from these three scriptures and then another angle to what I was emphasizing last week. So would you please open that book up. Hebrews chapter 13. No guarantee if this is the end. It is my plan, however, on this series, at this point in the morning, to bring this to an end. We emphasize verse 22 of chapter 13. I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation. So remember last week, we went through the exhortations, the commands in the book of Hebrews, and there's not that many of them. Bear with this word of exhortation. For I've written to you briefly. We'll read those other three in just a moment. Let me ask you, after last week, just perusing through it, how would you describe the emphasis of the book of Hebrews as far as the commands go? Not all the teaching. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of deep, deep teaching in there. But what is the so what? What's the main emphasis?
Guidelines to follow for our faith.
Guidelines for our faith, okay. Stephen, did you have something there?
No.
Okay. Laurel?
Just to be diligent. Just to put your hands in the plow and know what's
happening. Yes. Keep going. Diff?
The exhortations all revolved around Christ, it seemed to me. I urge you, brother, do not let his teaching slip away.
Okay.
All of that. It all revolved around Christ, as opposed to James, where it is more practical, and Peter, which is more practical for Christian living. But this is it seemed like it was more urging in Christ.
I wrote it down.
Okay. Go ahead.
This book. Exhortations are found in the two greatest commandments: love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay. So, Beth?
Yeah, my thought was kind of similar to David's, that it seems like the emphasis of the book is who is Christ and what does it mean to trust him? How do we do our religion?
Okay. You know,
it's not offering sacrifices. It's not going into the tent. Jesus has done it all. Yeah. And so it seems like the exhortations are more focused on trusting him and why we should have confidence in him. And then, as Tammy said, that was your wrap-up last week, what it comes down to is loving God and loving him.
Okay. Putting the hands to the plow, and then Wanda, as you spoke there, what is that, though? It is, it seems like, over and over again, it has to do with making certain about the faith in the people around you. Well, starting with yourself. Make sure that no one comes short of it. But really, to make certain that those just kind of, you know, they're following along in the wake, but they haven't really believed yet. And then how do you do that? It's through a certain lifestyle, right? There's guidelines for living so that we're living out truth and others can see that and want that same God. Through the book is also the drawing near to God. Those two are absolutely through this book. Now, the other angle, that I kind of toyed with and came up this week, came to mind as I read Acts chapter 1. Would you please turn to Acts chapter 1? Acts 1, Luke composed this, writing to his friend Theophilus, in verse 1, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To this he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And gathering them together, he commanded them. So now we've got an emphasis. A command is coming. Not to leave Jerusalem. That's basic. But to wait. Another part of the command, for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Because they know the prophets. And they figured, oh, doing the math, 1 + 1 = 2. Is it this? And the Lord responded to them, it is not for you to know the epochs or the times which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. We have a term that we label this particular verse. And what is that term? It's one of two entries of the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Go, right? The end of Matthew 28. Look at that for just a moment. Matthew 28. Kind of have to back up to verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him. And anytime you see that in your Bible, man, underline that, at least in your mind. Because you are supposed to worship God only. And where they worship Jesus is the fact that Jesus is God. They worshiped him and he did not stop them. Anyway, but some were doubtful. I like that entry too. Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Lord, I'm struggling with, humanly speaking. Anyway, Jesus came up and spoke to them all saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. These two entries that we term the Great Commission, typically, we hear them in our church world from whom? Essentially, visiting missionaries, traveling missionaries. Yet, you know, they're coming to visit and put on a little missionary thing. And, man, time and again, right here, and what is the emphasis? Well, number one, we're missionaries, we're following the command and trying to emphasize, you need to also go. But realizing that not everybody will go, there's a second emphasis that comes in.
There's money.
Money. We need supporters. And it's a team. And those, it's all true. It's good and it's all true. But Hebrews gives us a different type of emphasis. And I think it fills out the picture even more that the Christian life is more than just going to some foreign place. And it's more than just supporting those that go to a foreign place. 1 Thessalonians, please. Just a little bit prior to Hebrews. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 9. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren. So hallelujah for the church of Thessalonica. All the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, excel still more. Loving your neighbor as yourself. And make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business. Work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you may behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. What's the emphasis here? It's not a missionary work out there. It's not on supporting missionaries out there. They're not excluded. That is right. But there's a deeper, real-life, practical emphasis for any of us, all of us, at any point in time. I have to remember, there are people that did not appreciate one of Keith Green's emphasis. He had a lot of good stuff that I appreciate, fed into my life a lot. Discipleship, well, I mean, just, you know, some good stuff. But it seemed like he was putting a demand on everyone to follow the Great Commission. His emphasis was, he's with the Lord today, so he's straightened out. That leaves hope for me. That if God has not commanded you to stay, you need to go. How do you untangle that? Okay, now I'm not going to get down on him. What I'm going to say is there can be an overemphasis on the going out there somewhere and missing real life here where God has planted me here and now. And I can think to myself, well, I'm not quite as spiritual as them, but boy, I'll help out somehow. Being a lesser part of the team. That's not what I'm reading here. I want to read one other passage as well. Go ahead, Armin.
Every person on earth is either a mission field or a missionary.
Well, that's true. I'm with you. And let's look and see if Hebrews is emphasizing one or the other. Because I want to blend this together with you. So make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Attend to your own business. Work with your hands. Just as we commanded you. What am I going to benefit from that? Well, I'm going to stay out of some trouble, one thing. But also that I may behave properly toward outsiders, those that don't know Jesus yet. There's missionary work right here on my block at home. And I would not have any need. That means that I am helping to support not only me and my family, but others that may come in need. Working with my hands. God invented that. He told Adam to work before Adam chose to rebel. There was labor going on. Okay, look at the next book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, and I think this could have been written last week to us, but it was written almost 2,000 years ago. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep aloof from every brother who leads an unruly life. And that word unruly is disorderly, undisciplined.
What's that reference?
2 Thessalonians 3:6. Keep aloof from, away from every brother. And it is talking about the brethren in Christ who leads an undisciplined, unruly, disorderly life and not according to the tradition you have received from us. And he explains himself. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. You see, I think he's emphasizing those that believe they have the gift of receiving instead of the gift of giving. Yeah. There are those that have come into our world, even here, who think that this church exists to support them financially. And some of them consider themselves pretty lofty elders. Really? And I do remember, and I thank God one more time in front of you for the man that pulled me aside when I first got here 32 years ago. Watch out for this man, this man, this man, this man, and this man. He mentioned five. To a man, they came to me, wanted to be my best friend and an elder to help. To a man, they were right here. Watch out. Thank you, Lord. That man proved to be my friend. That man proved to be absolutely my friend and companion in ministry, though he was never part of this fellowship. Thank you, Lord. Watch out. Keep aloof from them. We, verse 8, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, because as an apostle, as a traveling itinerant guy that he was, man, he could emphasize, you know what, you need to support what I'm doing. But he said, we didn't do that. But in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, that you might follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Maybe he needs to be hungry for a while. According to the Word of God. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. They're meddling in everybody else's world, trying to tell everybody else how to order their life. You guys ever known any of those? Yeah. Like I said, I think this might have been written last week, you know, and it can be very appropriate. Or last month or last year is my point. Nothing happened this last week that reminded me of this. It's okay. But the point is, there is a stay-at-home lifestyle. And that stay-at-home lifestyle has an emphasis from the Lord. He designed it that way. A little bit more in this passage. Verse 12, now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus to work in a quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that man. Do not associate with him so that he may be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Whew. Did you guys know this passage is in your Bible? You know, we tend to emphasize certain other things that seem a bit more spiritual in orientation. Did you know that Matthew 28... that verse, go, is as you are going. It does not mean get an airplane ticket and travel to India or to wherever. But as you are progressing in life, that may mean right here at home. Now, in Acts chapter 1, these followers of Jesus certainly were going to be a witness for him in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. It moves out from the center, right? And the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, that's hallelujah for that. The gospel's made it all the way here. The gospel made it all the way to how many other countries and tribes and people? Because as they went, you know what? In the book of Acts, they didn't go because they heard the word from God, you need to go to India. Rather, they were fleeing persecution. And as they went, they spoke the word of God. Okay, now, I don't know if you're following me in my thinking here. It might be a little funny. Emphasis of Hebrews. There is nothing about the Great Commission or supporting those that are missionaries out there. Nothing wrong with that. That is biblical, and that is, praise God for that. Many have come to know Jesus because of those missionaries traveling like that. I think they used to be called apostles sent from churches, different than the 12 apostles. There's a case to be made for that in the scripture. One sent with a message. What's a missionary? One sent with a task, with a message. But what is the other emphasis? You that live right at home, where God has you planted, what are you to be doing? The same kind of work, only right here local. That outsiders may see and understand. That those within the body are encouraged to do the primary, and that is draw nearer and nearer to the living God and in truth. See, I personally don't see the emphasis of Hebrews really being any different. It just broadens the focus. It helps me to not feel guilty when God hasn't made me feel guilty about not going out there somewhere on this planet. I don't know if any of you have ever felt a little tinge of guilt about that or not. Well, I wanted to be a missionary, but I blew it. Now I'm here. Well, excuse me. John?
Well, isn't it true that God sent persecution and caused the people to leave Jerusalem and spread the message that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And God, in His unique way, does His business. Sometimes with a sense of humor. And that's what I see with your sister. You know, just thank you, Lord. There's a way that's right, and that's God's way. Okay, what are your... Do you have thoughts on this, or is it a little bit too scattered for you? What is the emphasis of God? The emphasis of God. Gordell, you had something?
Yeah, I think it might not be... with your question, but this really makes me realize even more. I've never known missionaries that went out on their own without some kind of a base or foundation. So really the home pastors and churches that support them are just as important as those people out there, to me.
Okay.
I mean, the gospel's got to be spread, but like you said, we can spread it to our neighbors too and still do the work.
Okay. Yes.
But you know, without the home church, there's not going to be people in China.
And there's going to be some struggling.
Yeah.
There have been plenty that have gone out on their own. It can be a difficult time. Okay. Good. Armin.
I like the metaphor of an army. You know, the Lord's army. Well, there are people that are in the front. You know, the soldiers in the front. But they wouldn't be able to do anything if they didn't have the support from the back, from the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Dave?
So Dan, kind of returning to your initial question, it seems as though a heavy emphasis in Hebrews is for people to realize how radical difference between what they have been doing and practicing and what is being introduced to them. So it's a demand for self-examination, recognizing that the Jewish community tends to be very insulated. It was insulated then. They kept to themselves for the most part. They were not known for evangelism. And this turns that entire idea upside down. Mm-hmm. That there, the commission is for us to go. But in going, there's that two sides of the page. One is, got to take care of ourselves. But on the other hand, at the same time, you're reaching out to those who are not part of our group. And so there is that necessity to be urged, to behave, and to share. And those, call them admonitions. So those thoughts kind of going through my mind as I listen to you. And the Thessalonian passages. We're not to be an insulated group. And for me, it's very, very easy to withdraw into my group and be insulated.
Let's look at the last three verses of Hebrews. This is just purely personal. And this is the only personal entry in this whole book, 13 chapters, of the writer in his heart to the recipient in their heart. Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released. Okay. What does that tell you? He'd been in prison, incarcerated. Probably because of the gospel rather than from petty theft. He's been released. With whom, if he comes soon, I shall see you. Where is he writing from? Look at the next verse. Greet all of your leaders and all the saints. The leaders spoken of earlier in verse 17. And all the holy ones. There are plenty that are believers in Jesus. That hagios word is there. Greet them all. So apparently this writer is well known to them and can emphasize, and I did at the beginning, it may lend a hint to who wrote this, but he never cites it. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Okay, where is it written from? Pretty basic, probably Rome. Timothy may be imprisoned in Rome, who has been released, which if he comes soon, we will travel to see you. Personal touch. You know, it's a good thing. Second Timothy, we're going to be going there next hour for those who are with us. There's a bit of an emphasis to Timothy on suffering hardship for Christ. We can see that he did. Timothy was imprisoned. Now he's been released. I want to see you, and I'm waiting for Timothy to come, and then together we'll travel to see you wherever they are. So greet all your leaders and the saints. Those from Italy greet you. And then more than just a well-wisher, sincerely, and sign your name. Grace be with you all. Grace from God is what they absolutely needed. When we read that, don't take it lightly. That is a prayer for them. That is a wish upon them. That is a calling of a blessing upon them. Grace, as we know it in the Scripture, is something from God to fill the gap where I have a need. It is God enabling where I can't. It is unto salvation, and it's far more than that. And that also comes out in this book of Hebrews. Draw near to that throne of grace, that we may receive grace and mercy and help in the time of need. That's to the believer, as well as to the one that hasn't come to know Jesus yet. So they need grace. I need grace. I'm in need right now, in fact. So thank God for that. But it's a blessing upon them. Grace be with you all. And so then he sealed it, sent the scroll to wherever they were. Must have been a central hub of believing Hebrew people. And they received it. They knew who it was from. That was probably transferred verbally because it's not written in the text. They knew, but we don't. And it's okay. I haven't lost any sleep about it. I think this is the top of the mountain. Though we could certainly go back and reemphasize some things. Any final thoughts or questions from you, Dave?
So, after we've completed the book of Hebrews, who do you think wrote it?
Apollos.
Why?
Because he associated with Timothy, the timing is right, and because of who he was, from Acts chapter 18 and 19, mentioned in 1 Corinthians along with Paul. Some say I'm of Paul, some of Apollos, I mean a leader, but how he confounded the Jews in Acts 18 from their own scripture. I like to think that the book of Hebrews is what he used. That information anyway, from their own scripture. So, that's my thinking.
Thank you.
But he and Timothy certainly associated. When Paul picked up Timothy in chapter 16 of Acts, they end up going into Ephesus where they met up with Apollos, who then went to Corinth. So, all that fits together, and I will not arm wrestle anybody about it. That is my personal opinion that you have solicited, so I gave it to you. Any other thoughts or questions about the book? And by the way, I know there's not going to be a pop quiz to enter heaven. Who wrote it?
Hebrews.
Yeah, thank you, Lord, for the book. Thank you for the 66 books. Lord, this is one of them. Lord, tying so many things together from the old covenant into the new. It makes it make sense. And Lord, the new. The newness in Christ that we've been able to experience in our life as Gentile people. Thank you, Lord God, for including us. And Father, as this emphasis to be rather than to go out and do, thank you for that too, Lord. It's who we are becoming. And also the emphasis of bringing people with us, walking together toward Christ deeper and deeper. We see it. And we also, Lord, know that the two greatest commandments are right there. To love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love our neighbors, ourself. There's not a better idea. God, give us the grace to do that. And even do that today. In Jesus' name.